This morning we're going to be looking at three verses. The first is Hebrews 9:27. These three are going to build the foundation of what we're going to be speaking of. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." Verse 28, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Next verse, Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24:36 says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And then Revelation 20:11. Revelation 20:11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." The title of my message this morning is, "Are you ready to stand before the throne of Christ?" These three texts all share something in common. First, we looked at Hebrews 9:27, and we're told that it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, judgment. Matthew 24:36, we're told that we need to be ready. The Lord is saying constantly in that verse, stay awake. No one knows when he is coming. But we know that there is a time when he will appear and we will all see him. In the Revelation 20, again, the same idea that there's this great white throne, all humanity standing before. There's a day appointed when everyone must die, then judgment. Christ is telling us that he is coming. You don't know when he's coming, so be ready. When he comes, judgment will come. And again, Revelation, that all humanity will stand before the throne. A couple Wednesdays ago at prayer meeting, if you were here, Tim was giving us this update on Nicaragua, and he was sharing about this plane that he was on and the landing of it. And he was telling us about how it was such a really frightening experience. I mean, the plane was going up and down, people were vomiting, and it was a really intense story. And some people were laughing, some people were stone-faced. it seems like everybody was really fixated on that tale. And as he was saying it, two things stood out to me more than anything else. He said that when he was going through that, the thought that came to his head was, I don't know if I'm going to quote you exactly right, brother, but it was something like, I didn't think this is how it would be. In other words, I didn't think I was going to die in a plane crash. The other thing he said, that sitting next to Martha, there were two ladies who were crying out, we need to repent, we need to repent. I saw those two contrasts. One man ready to die, ready to stand before Christ. The others frantically crying out, looking for a way to prepare themselves because they knew that they were not ready. Both were thinking the same thought, death is coming, yet two very different responses. One ready, the others clearly not. And it struck me. It stayed with me. Aside from that, if you've been at all in tune with what's going on in the news and in the world, you know that several celebrities have died recently. And in just the past few months, even more have. In fact, this is just a really small list of some of the celebrities who have died. It's Prince, China, Fife from Tribe Called Quest, Doris Roberts, Patty Duke, Gary Shandling, Nancy Reagan, Abe Vigoda, Alan Rickman, David Bowie. And there are many, many others. And each time somebody dies, especially a celebrity, you know like I do what happens. Constant coverage talking about death, death, death. It's flooded. The internet is flooded with death. On Friday, our brother Mike Morrow went to the joy of our Lord, death. In addition to this, some of you may know, some of you may not know that my grandmother, my only grandmother that I've ever known, she's literally on her deathbed and she's not ready. She's moments from the grave. So all this talk about death, dying, got me thinking about the reality of what Scripture says, because we know that it's appointed for man to die and then comes judgment. So I started thinking about the reality of the judgment that's coming. And every one of us here, we are either going to die, or Christ is going to return, but the end result is going to be the same. We're going to stand before the throne. We're either going to get there by death, or we're going to get there by the coming of the Lord. Again, like we saw in Revelation, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And notice, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Think of you as you're evangelizing. What do? When you're talking to people, isn't it true that you constantly bring them to the reality that they're going to face judgment? Don't you constantly bring them to the reality that they're going to stand before God and have to give an account? You're constantly pointing them to the reality that there is a wrath, there is a judgment, there is a price to pay. And if you are not prepared, if you're not in Christ, then you are lost. And we are out there trying to bring people out of the fire into a place of safety. We're calling them, flee from the wrath to come. Judgment is coming. You think about the book Pilgrim's Progress. What caused him to flee from the city of destruction? Evangelist. And what was his message? Flee from the wrath to come. Judgment. We preach this. Then you think of the ministry of Christ. If you spend any amount of time in the Gospels, you see something repeatedly happening by our Lord. Jesus, our Lord, he kept pointing people to Judgment Day. There's no question about it. He kept bringing his listeners to the reality of a day when they will stand before the throne. It didn't matter if they were one of his disciples or the Pharisees. He kept preaching this message. He did this both in plain language. He did this in parable. There are a few examples. Matthew, you don't have to turn there. You can listen to these. Matthew 10:15, when he was talking about those who reject the message of his disciples, he said, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. In Matthew 11:21, here he is bringing a rebuke on those and the cities and where most of his mighty works have been done. And what does he say? Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, you would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment. Here it is again. For Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Why does he do this? Why does he take them to the reality that judgment day is approaching? And if you don't repent, if you reject what I have done, then it's going to be more fierce for you. Those cities, Sodom, Gomorrah, Tyre, Sidon, they're going to have it lighter on the day of judgment than you will. You see, he continually brought them to the reality, to judgment day. In Matthew 12:36, he says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:41 and 42, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. You think about the parable of the wheat and the tares. You think about the parable of the net. You look at the entire chapter 25 in the book of Matthew. You got the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, the final judgment, over and over and over again. And these are just a few of the instances. You comb through the Gospels and you see Jesus Christ repeatedly bringing people to the reality that there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day when you will be judged. There's coming a day when you will stand before the throne. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Repeatedly, our Lord did this. And no one here is going to question whether or not that's real. There's no question if we will stand before the throne. It's going to come. The question is how, right? You're either going to get there by death or you're going to get there by the Lord's return. But you're going to get there. You're going to stand. Even regardless of what your views on eschatology are or the end times, we all agree that we will all stand before the great white throne. More importantly, let's personalize it. You, sir, you, man, young woman, you personally will stand before the throne and give an account for your life. So here's the big question, as I said earlier, that we're going to be looking at today. Are you ready to stand before the throne of Christ? Are you ready? If the Lord took the breath from your lungs right now, as he has done millions of times this year, over 100,000 times just today, every 3 seconds, someone is dying all around the world. Children, men, women, the rich, the poor, the young and the old, black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, African, Native American. People are dying all around us in this country, in this state, in this city, in our neighborhoods. Would you be ready? Are you ready right now to see him? One after another, people are going to judgment. Another one dies, and then the judgment. Another heart stops, and then the judgment. An aneurysm, judgment. Car accident, judgment. Stray bullet, judgment. Heart attack, judgment. Cancer, judgment. Again, again, and again. People are going to judgment. It's happening constantly. Right now, the numbers are continuing to climb with each moment. And this is the reality that you need to know and you need to remember. You need to hold on to is that your number is coming. Your name is going to be called. Your day is approaching. And today, today only brings you closer to that final day. Are you ready? People spend so much time getting ready for so many things. I was thinking about how much time people spend getting ready for the education of their children. They want their children to be educated. Parents spend so much money to put their children in the best schools, to buy the best homeschool curriculum. Many want to live in the best neighborhoods because that's where the best school districts are, because they want their children to have the best education and go to the best colleges to get the best jobs so they can have the best life. Much preparation is being done towards this goal. They want them to learn all these languages and read all these books and know all this stuff. But are your children ready to stand before the throne of Christ? Are you? Many think much about marriage. They want to be prepared. They want to get ready to be a husband, to be a wife. The learning how to fix cars and cook dinners and much preparation into how they look and how they're seen. But are you ready to stand before the throne of Christ? Again, is that saying that there's anything bad with wanting to educate your children? No. Is there anything bad with wanting to be prepared for marriage? No, these are important things. But you know, like I know, there's absolutely nothing more important than this. Being ready for this. Nothing even comes close. You put yourself there. You put yourself there on the day of judgment before the throne of Christ, and you know, like I know, it's not going to matter how many books you read. It's not going to matter how many languages you knew. It's not going to matter how many movies you watched or how much music you knew or how up to date you were on the latest gossip. The thing that is going to be flooding your mind, the one thing that's going to be most important to you is, am I ready for this? Am I prepared for this? Am I equipped to stand before the throne? Am I in Christ? Are my sins forgiven? That is what is most important. And we would say that's true. But are you ready for it? I mean, we looked at it. Matthew 24. Jesus spoke about his coming. He told his listeners to be ready. I mean, look at it again. Look at the repetitive nature of how many times he says this. And how many different ways he says it. In verse 42, Matthew 24:42, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Stay awake. You don't know. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. It would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also, listen to the command here. You must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You must be ready. Are you ready? He said he's coming when you don't think. Honest question for you. Do you think he's coming today? Think of last night. Did you spend last night as though he would return last night? Did you awake this morning while you were getting dressed with the mindset, he can return right now? Or did you spend it arguing with your spouse, yelling at your children, wasting time on things of the world, or just in a worldly fog, completely oblivious to the reality of God and his imminent coming? As you walked in this morning and had your seat, were your thoughts on the reality that Christ said, be ready, stay awake, because you do not know when the Son of Man will return? Were you thinking about what he told us right here? When he used the analogy of Noah in verse 38, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. What a thought. What a frightening thought. There you are. You're buying groceries, HEB, looking at your phone, checking out. And then suddenly the sky splits apart and Christ comes back. There you are, just driving, listening to your favorite song, enjoying the atmosphere, and then, boom, there it is. The trumpet sounds.
the voice of the archangel, and Christ victoriously coming down, would you be ready? He said that's how it was going to happen. Just like in the days of Noah, they were unaware. There they are, buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, just enjoying their life. And then the ark door shut, and they were unaware. And he tells us that's the same way it's going to happen. People are going to be unaware. I'm asking you, are you unaware? Are your children unaware? Is your spouse unaware? Is your brother, is your sister unaware? Are you ready? Because it's going to happen. And people in here, brethren, we wouldn't say it's not. We would say we believe these things. We would say we know it's going to happen. But how much time is being put into the reality of asking myself, am I ready? Am I ready? Remember, we're going to stand before Him either by death, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment, or by His second coming. Therefore, be ready, for you do not know when the Son of Man is coming. And it's going to all bring us to the same place. Either death or the second coming is going to bring us to the place. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. If the sky were rolled back as a scroll and you see terror in the faces of the wicked all around you, and you know what's happening, you know it's too late to repent. It's too late to erase the filth that's on your phone. It's too late to forgive that sister or that brother. It's too late to run to Jesus. It's too late to enter the ark. The gate has been closed. It's over. Time is up and there are no more chances. The time has ended for mercy and grace and salvation. The day of judgment is upon you. Will you be ready? And we know what's going to happen. Those people who were once regarded as important, the celebrities that the world adores and envies and desires, the ones who dominate the headlines, they have photographers waiting at airports just to get a glimpse of these people getting into their cars, these people who seem so important. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The sexual sin that seems so important and worth it. The fashion trends and songs and movies and habits that seem so hard to part with. That boyfriend, that girlfriend you knew you should have forsaken long ago. When he comes back, you know, like I know, you're going to see it all as sewage. And you'll be caught red-handed. The warnings were given you like Achan. The time was given to repent, but you did not let it go. You did not turn from it. And now judgment has come. It is upon you and you've been found with sin in the camp. You had a good reputation. But now, like the followers of Korah and Dathan, the time for judgment has come. If He came back even now as I preach, would you be afraid? Would you fear that you were not ready to go? Would you try to erase your history? Would you try to move out of somebody's apartment that you shouldn't be in? Would you try to now, okay, now I'm going to read the Bible. Now I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to repent like Tim preached about last week. Would you take seriously all the warnings then? Would you kick yourself for playing around with sin all those evenings? Would you regret that you allowed yourself to be so close to the world? That you allowed yourself to play around with worldliness? Would you regret that you called holiness legalism? You know you would. You know you would regret all of those things if He came back and you would not be ready. Are you ready to see Him? You're going to see Him. Listen, listen. You are going to see Him. That is more real than I stand before you now. That is more sure. That is more true. That is more definite. You will stand before Him. If you were on that plane with Tim and it looks frightening, everyone is screaming, people are panicking, and you see the end coming, would you be ready? Or would you be able to some degree relax? Sure, there'd be some fear because of the plane and it's scary and all of that. But you know, you have a confidence. I'm going to see Him. And I'm happy about it. I look forward to it. There's no fear because I'm ready. Or would you search your mind thinking about the regret for secret sins, hidden sins, stolen things that you thought were hidden like Gehazi, but now it's been uncovered. Now you know, oh no, oh no, here he comes and I have this. And he told me I should let it go when I didn't. Would you be unsure to see the face, the blazing holy face of the one who sits upon the throne of judgment? Are you ready to have everything in your life examined? It says there in Revelation, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Jesus said, judgment, what's going to happen? Every idle word. Are you ready to give an account for every idle word? Everything you've ever said, every word that has ever come from your mouth, every time you got angry, every song that you sang, every lyric you ever recited, every profane word that you justified using. You know, there are people walking around today with platforms that are telling Christians that you can use profanity and it's fine. And there are some people who actually buy into this foolishness and profanity is coming from their mouth. And the Bible tells you that on the day of judgment, you will give an account. You know he knows it all. He who has made the ear, doesn't he hear? He who has made the eye, does he not see? Are you prepared? Perhaps there's a cloak of godliness and you have everyone else fooled. Good reputation among the elders, a good witness among the church, but inwardly you're a liar and a thief and sexually immoral. And an idolater, and you know it. And if he returned right now, you'd be unprepared and terrified. If that sky cracked, your eyes would bulge out of your head because you've been discovered to be false. Are you ready? You know that there's something about us that we don't want to be taken unaware. There's something about us that wants to be prepared. You know, people get a concealed firearm. Why? Just in case. People get tornado insurance. Why? Just in case. The hail. Over $1 billion in damage. So you know what people are doing right now? Just in case. Just in case. People are building bunkers. People are preparing for a zombie apocalypse. But they're taking no thought to their soul and to the reality that they will stand before the Lord and give an account with eternity before them. Are you ready? Are you ready? What would you say if you knew that the next 30 seconds were your last 30 seconds? Would you beg and plead for more time? Queen Elizabeth from the 1700s, on her deathbed, she said, I would give all my possessions for more time. This was a wicked woman. What do you think she wanted more time for? Not to gather more possessions, not to give her family a hug. She wanted more time so that she could get right with the Lord, so that she could be at peace with this God who was angry with her. But no more time came for her. Are you ready? You may say, okay, Jesus said that you need to be ready. You may say, well, when is he coming so I can be ready? The reality is you don't know. That's why he said, stay ready. You think of the five foolish virgins who had no oil. They were not ready when their appointment came. The rich fool who built bigger barns. He was not ready. And his soul was required of him. You think of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you think that they thought that they were going to be carried out by the same young men who they had just walked by earlier? There's something true about this world, and it is this. That sermons, I call them sermons, are constantly being preached at you by this world. full of lies, full of lies. One message that Hollywood has done a very good job at preaching falsely about, that has convinced many, is death. They make death look glamorous, don't they? They make death even look funny, romantic. They take a wicked man totally without Christ and they show him dying in his sin with a smile on his face, looking so peaceful, so calm, soft music playing in the background. Everything seems so good. Or as is the same man, wicked, ungodly, no evidence of Christ in his life. And they take this actor and he's running towards a barrage of bullets, confident, courageous, with no fear, looking death in the square in the eye like, I am coming for you. I have no fear. That's the message that Hollywood preaches. Is that how the wicked truly die? When a man knows he's about to see the Lord and he's not ready, is that how he really behaves? There's this book written by S.B. Shaw. It's called The Book of Dying Testimonies of Saved and Unsaved. It is a sobering book. In this book, there are the accounts, just what it says. Last moments, people on their deathbeds, what came out of their mouth? What did they do? The saved and the unsaved. Sobering book. Listen to what they cried out. These are some of the wicked. Voltaire, I don't know if you've ever heard that name before, famous, he's called an infidel, atheist, unbeliever. This is what he said about Christianity. Christianity is assuredly the most ridiculous, the most absurd, and the most bloody religion which has ever infected this world. Your Majesty will do the human race an eternal service by extirpating this infamous superstition. That's what he said in his life. Here's what he said with his last words. I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. O Christ, O Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. They talk big, but when they're looking death in the eye, when they look at eternity, it is a completely different story. Here's another one. Francois Newport. He said, oh, that I were to lie upon the fire that never is quenched 1,000 years to purchase the favor of God and be reunited to him again. But it is a fruitless wish. Millions of years will bring me no nearer to the end of torments than one poor hour. Oh, eternity, eternity, forever and forever. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. And then he went to judgment. Can you hear the desperation? No soft music, no calm, no peace. One more from the wicked. Unknown. Just a man dying. Wicked, lost man. When visited by a doctor, he was groaning and making demonstrations of great agony. The doctor said, why do you groan? Your disease is not painful. Oh, doctor, said he, it is not the body, but the soul that troubles me. On the evening of his death, as they entered the room, the people said that they felt it was filled with an awful presence as if he were near the region of the damned. The dying man cried out, oh God, deliver me from that awful pit. This was not a penitential prayer, but the wail of a lost soul. About 15 minutes before his death, which was at 12, he exclaimed, I am in the flames. Pull me out. Pull me out. He kept repeating this until the breath left his body. As the bodily strength failed, his words became more faint. At last, Mr. N put his ear down close to catch his departing whispers. And the last words he could hear were these. Pull me out. Pull me out. Hollywood has lied to you. The media has lied to you. Behind it all, the devil has lied. If you are unprepared, you can pretend to be tough. You can think yourself strong. But when you face eternity, when you stare into the face of the Lamb upon the throne, all else comes very clear. Yesterday, just yesterday, I was at this event and I was talking to these guys. And these guys, they were, you know what they were telling me? We're gods. The black man is God. All that stuff you believe in is superstition. Heaven and hell is whatever you make it. I looked him dead in his eye and I said, but you're going to die like a man. And he was silenced. You know, the reality is this. You can call yourself a god. You can say whatever you want to. But when you face eternity, you will see how ungodlike you really are. You will see how feeble and weak you really are. Are you ready? But then you hear the other side. You hear of others when they look death in the face. It's a much different song. There's this book. It's called Singing in the Fire. This brother named John Bradford, before he was about to be burned alive for Christ, listen to what he said. He turned to address young John Leaf, his fellow sufferer. The words are unforgettable. Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night. Here's from Shaw's book again. This is a believer. Mrs. Jewett suffered with cancer in her throat and starved to death. I called to see her. This is her pastor. Upon hearing my voice, she said, come to me. She threw her arms around my neck, saying as she did so, kindred spirit, I wanted so much to see you. I am sanctified. I have kept the faith. I am starving to death, but in a little while I shall pluck the fruit of the tree of life. She reached out her hand as if already doing so, saying, sweet. Oh, how sweet. Then, dipping her hand, she said, and I will drink of the water of life even now. Goodbye for a little while, and died victoriously. What a contrast. One of my favorite hymns, Rock of Ages. Augustus Todplate. Have you ever heard what he said on his deathbed? It is glorious. Let me tell you what he said. Within an hour before he expired, he seemed to awake from a gentle slumber, and he exclaimed, oh, what delight! Who can fathom the joys of the third heaven? What a bright sunshine has been spread around me! I have not words to express it. I know it cannot be long now till my Savior will come for me, for surely no mortal man can live. Bursting as he said it into a flood of tears, and then he continued, after glories that God has manifested to my soul, all his light, 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 the brightness of his own glory. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come, come quickly. What a thing. You see the contrast. One crying out the insufferable pangs of hell. The other, light, light, come quickly. What gave these brethren the peace in the face of death? What separated one man from another? Why was one ready for the throne, the other screaming out in despair? Christ, Christ, Christ. What gave the first century Christians the courage to face lions and torture in the Roman Empire? It was Christ. What gives brethren in Iran joy in spite of the beheading and the rapings in the Islamic State? Christ. If you were at the Denton Conference or you heard John's message, you heard what he said about that little boy. I stared in the face of this little boy who was beaten by grown men and women for the sake of Jesus Christ. And he came back in the house rejoicing. And he wants to continue to proclaim the message, though he was promised to be killed for this. What gives the reality of this? What gives a response like this? What causes someone to have such confidence, to be so prepared? Christ. 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 It has everything to do with Jesus. Are you in Christ? Have you and are you continually repenting of all sin in your life? Have you and are you clinging to Jesus Christ for salvation? Is he precious to you? Is he precious to you, really? Not just with words, but really, is he precious to you? Do you love him? Is he your hope? Is he your all? Is he your only treasure? Do you see yourself as so weak, and without Him you have nothing, and so you stay close to Him. You want to abide in Him. You need Him. Even when you fall, you know that He's your only hope, and you run immediately to Him. Are you a recipient of forgiveness by the blood of the Lamb? His blood, how do you view His blood? Is it precious? Do you see that great fountain that flows down and you say, it's for me, it's for me. It's cleansing, it's washing. It is where I find my forgiveness, that blood that was shed for me. The life is in the blood, and you say, He gave His life for me. That blood was shed for me. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died on the cross. Catholics believe that. It's not enough to believe that Jesus was sinless. Muslims believe that. It's not enough even to have good theology. Demons believe and tremble. They have perfect theology. They know all the truth. They know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. But there's no salvation for them. Do you trust Him? Are you currently, right now, trusting in Him and repenting of all sin? You know, I was listening just yesterday in preparation for this. I was listening to the last message that Brother Bob Jennings preached for us. As he's facing death, and he said it with such, you know, John 8:21. If you die in your sins, you will not go where He goes. You will not go where Christ is. He said, oh, but if you are forgiven of your sins, then you will go where Jesus is. I mean, that's the hope. That's when you know you're ready, because your sins have been forgiven, because you're in Christ. And though there might be, you know, again, I was listening to this, the last chapters of Pilgrim's Progress on the way here. And there is Christian, you know, he's going through this little chasm of water that separates the land until he can get to the celestial city, until he gets to the gates. And undoubtedly, there's this fear. I've never been there before. And you heard it even in Brother Bob's voice. You know, I never died before. And you can, he said, what does the Bible say? It's like sleep. I've fallen asleep before. That's not so bad. You know, that's good. And it's the same thing. I'm listening to Pilgrim's Progress. And there's his brother bringing him about with the promises. You cling to those promises. You cling to the Scripture. Your hope is in Christ. It's in nothing else. It's in nowhere else. It's in no one else. It's all in Christ. That's your hope. That's your stead. That's the rock. All of the ground is sinking sand. That's how you know that you're ready, because you're in Christ. You hate your sin. You turn from it. You want Him. That's all you're hoping on. You're leaping out in eternity knowing that He will catch you in His arms and never drop you. You're trusting in Him and Him alone. Your eternity completely and totally is dependent upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and His life, death, and resurrection. Or are you trusting in any work of your own? Any performance, any church membership or communion or eating or baptism, any Bible reading or law keeping, circumcision or a cultural norm? Or are you placing all your faith in Jesus Christ right now? Those who are in Christ are ready. And if you're in Christ, you're ready. If you turn from your sin, you are ready. And though you may fall, the righteous man falls 7 times but gets back up. If you're in Christ, you're ready. But if you're not, you're going to see Him. And it will be terrifying. If you're in Christ, you say like Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you're in Christ, you know, you say amen. You read 1 John and you see that passage where John is talking about that we are the children of God. And when John says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, has not yet been revealed. But we know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is. For everyone who thus hopes purifies himself as He is pure. We're looking to His coming and we're hoping. We're looking to it with expectation. We're looking to it in joy. We're not looking to it in horror and looking forward to seeing Him as He is, being completely in awe of the reality that He would make people like us, children of God, We purify ourselves as He is pure. We walk in purity. We walk with a clear conscience that is dictated by the Word. We walk with in holiness because we know that without holiness, there is a holiness without which no one will see the Lord, and we want to see Him. Blessed are the pure in spirit and heart, for they will see God. If you are in Christ, even when you're being stoned like Stephen, even when the stones are hitting you, you can say, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Are you putting to death all of your sin today, now? Or are you hiding some of it? Are you keeping some of it? Are you petting some of it? Are you looking at the world as the Bible says? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that all these things are passing away along, that the world is passing away along with all these things? Or are you holding the world close? Are you getting close to the edge of the world? Are you trying to be this minimal morality that Piper talks about? Trying to be just enough Christian to get to heaven, but you really enjoy the world. You do not want to be found with the unfaithful when He returns. You do not want to be in the middle of rebellion when your heart is told to stop beating by the Lord. All right, well, quickly, some practical help at this point. Some of you might be aware of the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. I think so helpful. There are two of them that I think really just encapsulate this whole idea, this that I'm trying to put before you. Again, you're going to either die or Christ is going to come back. Bottom line is you're going to stand before Christ. Are you ready? If you're not in Christ, you're not ready. If you are in Christ, you are ready. So let's live in a way as though eternity really is approaching. Here's what Jonathan Edwards said, who had complete assurance, complete confidence that he was truly in the Lord. And yet, this is his resolution. Number 7, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Is that how you live? If you knew tonight, 9 p.m., was your last hour, would you still watch that movie? Would you still call that friend? Would you still go to that event? Would you still speak to your spouse that way? Would you still spend your time the way you had planned? How do you know that 9 o'clock tonight is not your last hour? How do you know that 9 o'clock tonight will not be when the Lord returns? Now, does Jesus want us thinking, "Oh, well, I'm going to die, so therefore I need to just sell my house, live on the street because He's going to come at any moment and I can't do anything"? No, not at all. In fact, we're to live in such a way as we're doing our normal day-to-day life, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. We're supposed to live in such a way that screams to the world and anyone else watching, "Christ is my all. And He can come at any moment or take my life at any time, but I am ready because I'm in Christ. I'm abiding in Him. I'm ready to see Him. I'm purifying myself as He is pure. I'm making battle against my sin. And everything that I am is for Him. And everything that I do displays the reality of what I say with my mouth. Even when I fail, I run immediately to Him. I have no hope, no help, no salvation or peace or joy or promise anywhere else or in anyone else. It's all Him." Second one, resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. In other words, the same thing. Within 1 hour, Jesus Christ is going to return. Think of the horror it would be for you to be in some type of sexual sin and the clouds are rolled back as the scroll. Thinking about you lying and He returns. You being harsh and He returns. You being unsubmissive and He comes back. You're disobedient to your parents and you look up and there He is. or he returns and you're not in Christ at all. Picture this as I'm bringing this to a close. You have a fireman. He's trained day to day about fires, dangers of smoke inhalation, the different temperatures that would cause somebody to perish. He's going through over and over again where I need to have my uniform in order to maximize time, how to have the truck ready, have everything prepared. He's been trained. And then one day there he is with his fellow firemen. They're just enjoying a good conversation and the alarm starts blaring. And now, oh no. So he goes to try to look for his uniform and it's not where it should be. He's scrambling, trying to put it on. Time is ticking. Now he goes to his truck and the fire truck has no gas. Now he has to try to stop for gas and he runs into traffic. By the time he finally gets to the emergency, he discovers that an orphanage full of children has burned to the ground and every one of them has died. Why? Because he wasn't ready. Because he wasn't prepared. Think of how this would start to play out. The investigation. All this is discovered. You know, like I know, that people would be furious. They would want to throw the book at him. How could you? You were trained. You were supposed to be prepared. How could you do such a thing? Because you were not ready. Look at the tragedy. Look at the destruction. Look at the sorrow you caused because you were not ready. There's no excuse. You should be ready. There's too much at stake. Well, how much more for you to be warned by the preaching of God's word, to be told and given much instruction about that day, instructions and commands to prepare by repenting of all sin and placing all faith, trust, hope, reliance in Jesus Christ for your soul. To gain all that information, and then when the day comes, to not be ready. To be offered such mercy and salvation, only to spit in the face of the Father who offers His Son to save sinners. To push aside the Son who would so willingly suffer the wrath of the Lord. To quench the Spirit of God who calls you to repent. It would be a much greater tragedy than 1,000 orphanages full of 1,000 dead children. To be cut off from all grace and mercy. To spend an eternity in weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, again, you will stand before Him. And you will either stand before Him because Jesus Christ returns, or you will stand before Him because He takes your life. But we will all stand before Him. And the only safe place is in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, you are not safe. Thinking about it is not safe. Wanting to talk to some people about it later is not safe. The only safe place is in Christ. And you don't have to wait until tonight to do it. You don't have to wait until later. You don't have to wait till the singing. You don't have to wait till the praying. You don't have to wait till after service. You don't have to wait till we take communion. Where you sit right now, you can repent. You can repent. You can repent. And you can place your faith in Christ. You can no longer hold yourself in any high regard. You can take the crown off of your own head. Step off of the throne that you sat on, where you were the God of your own life, where you were hiding and you were faking and you were false. You can abandon it all and you can come to Christ truthfully, honestly, where you are in all of your sin and filth. He came for the weak. He came for the dead. He came for the lost. He came for the sick. He is the great physician. He came to save sinners. And there's no sin, no shame, no guilt, no filth. You could be a pedophile or a rapist. That does not keep you out of the kingdom of God. He will forgive you and save you if you come truly. Come while there is time. For you do not know when you will stand. But you do know that you will. Are you ready to stand before the throne of Christ? Father. Father, I know the reality that you said on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord. I know the reality that you said that the way that leads to destruction is wide and many are on that way. There are few that find life, few that enter thereby. But Lord, I pray you would be merciful. Even as I think of my own grandmother and those in this room who don't know you, the children, the lost spouses, Father, please have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.